Major Perkin, Real Six. You were saying that the Brigadier said that the brigade had to break out because it had been encircled.
Brigade has three columns.
Three columns.
One was gold, one was silver, and one was Brigade of base column. The one I could tell this, the Brigade column. They also went a different way.
Who was in which column then?
Well, no silver form was the Royal Sussex.
Yes.
And the Colonel Glenny. No, good. Look at his name now. The Royal Sussex. We are the brigade. Mm. And the gold, I think the gold was horses and Sikhs. I think it was there. I forgot because they. I think they got out, went to the book, and they prisoner there. I can't remember who. I think that was them. What they did was nothing to do with the other. They got out. They got bombed and things on the way out. But we, that night, because they told me, navigate. So we had to ready to go. We used the route out of the south. Then we go right behind the one that's acting in advance. Hopefully, we won't be doing that, which is right. It turns out to be right. Yeah. And we got there that night. It's still night. At that captain in the minefield. I said to the brigadier, is this mine? Has it been opened? By the band it is. He said, I don't know. I said, do it, mine is, yeah, not. He said, no. You better find out. I got on my hands and knees. And went to the along through the gap on one tower box. And nothing there. I came back to the tower box, decided nothing there. Then I went back, got in my truck. I put a lot of sandbags on the floor on where I could sit.
In case you'd missed one.
Nothing went off.
There's how long did it take you to go on your personal reconnaissance on
I took my time. Probably about half an hour each day. I did transform my life.
Thorough business.
I'm not an extra sometimes. I have to feel my hand. I hope the mines may have been EP. It's just a peasant mine. I was a police officer of both ankles of the legs. If any bigger than that, Dermot, don't go. Of course, they were the German lines those days, but if they wouldn't stand a chance. But even our own mine wouldn't be done in much good. And it got through.
Roughly how many vehicles were there in this column that you were leading out? Do you know?
Well, there are battalions, the three battalions, gunners, brigade officer, medical. I told you about 100.
So you've got 100 vehicles to lead.
Nearly 100.
Presumably they had to go in single file through the minefield.
Yes. Then you get outside, you get up, stand out, the brigadier stopped us. And he said, we got 100, 300 miles to go. We had to have our petrol to get there. So they take all the petrol tanks and take the petrol in other things. And vandalize the vessels, and we would go on, which it did. And they said, set off till dark. I get home, probably about 5 miles out. So all these people set out. They got light as usual, closed in on me. And we said, get on, go south. And then, because I planned my route. And the brigade drove up beside me. I had a roof side stuck to my truck. So he came up and says, the gunners say you're going wrong. They choose to go that way. I said, is that the way? Is that a switch with the suit I arrested? You might want this around. I said, the masseuse, and the Germans are there. I knew that from situation report. They say, you're going wrong. And he said, I don't want to breathe, but they're seated seated to you, and I think they're right. Said, all right, but sir, do you mind if I go right away over there? Because I know that I want to know, I thought I could, they were proper. Well, I don't go over there then. I could write that out of the way.
So you're right out on the right flank, and they went left. Yeah. What happened?
The whole column turned around, and headed for this place. Nothing's there, see. I don't recognize the safe of the ground. And as we got there, suddenly two tanks came up to the top, German tanks. That's enough. So, waiting, shouting at me, I came back again, I took my own pill, and off we went south, sent everyone back in. We just headed south, 40 miles or so. Then I turned left towards the east to cut across the desert towards Tobruk. Maybe a lot had our first vessel in possession. As we were going along, we came to the main Norman's Rain route. And we could see all the all the bears would be there. And as I was in front of, I saw a motorcycle with a sidecar carrying on. Definitely German. So I stopped and said, he could see me. I didn't say, he knew but he wasn't going to get involved with Dale. And so he drove on. And we set off again.
I think it's the second time when you'd met enemy forces in the desert and had just passed by, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was more or less. It's one man.
Yes.
And we went on. We weren't attacked once from the air. The gold and silver swallows, those who were. We weren't attacked once. But I didn't realize this until that we stopped. I can't believe I didn't hear. Apparently, those three tents ripped down behind the end of our column and took about 3 or 4 trucks full of terrorist prisoners.
They did, yes.
But I didn't hear any firing or anything. I was so sure I was with them. It was quite a long way from Tibet to probably about a mile. Well, I went with a bit amazed. I think I told all that day, next night, and following the day, we took it on, all the way to 5 minutes an hour, and then it's all the thing in the distance of vehicles. I don't know who's there. I stopped the car and went all the way there by myself. And these two vehicles there, they seemed to circle to one side, watching me, obviously. I went on, and eventually they said they rushed. I was cut way in front of the column. They rushed in, saw me. I thought, this might be it. But it's one of the South African armored guards. And they recognized us, and they sort of spouted us away to book.
Were they able to give you any information about the situation ahead?
Well, if they did, I don't know. I know we were all right. We got to the book. I'd say it's all there.
You just kept moving on towards the brook.
I got very, very tired of these.
Yes.
I couldn't keep away. These are a man in the back of the top to keep hit my head if I went to sleep. Because I was guiding my compass.
Had you had any sleep at all during that breakout? No.
Movement?
So you've been just moving night and day? No stops?
No stops, yeah. No. That's a bit give against the he had to meet me up. Because no one else had the faint idea of it, you know. It's lucky me. I adopted this hobby of looking at the countryside.
Yes.
And learning about compass bearings. Well, I knew about compass bearings. I had to put it into practice, huh? Well, I learned the standards.
Well, appreciation of the ground used to be a very important part of Sandhurst training.
Very much. You had to remember all sorts of things. You wouldn't notice it already.
When you were doing that training at Sandhurst, do you remember if you did any landscape drawing as part of the process?
No. Yeah. Because the old days, commission after it's money made more of the training.
Indeed. I mean, they at one time, they had to do not only observed drawing, but they had to do drawing from memory, which was a way of making them retain the details of terrain in their minds. And a very effective skill, too.
Yeah, those first class of those days. Yeah. It's a real reason the history of Sandhurst, all right, after taught to painters.
Oh, well, they were, because they were all taught watercolour sketching as part of the training, and some of them took it up. So you were heading towards Tobruk, and you'd lost some of your column to those German tanks you'd met. did you lose anyone through straggling due to fatigue?
Not that of that sort of though. Didn't. Then you got to go to Tobruk, had to fall about it. I remember Sunday on Thursday, take over the duty of the staff captain. Now, I didn't like that. I'm not a staff officer. I didn't like it. I'm a regimental officer, as you heard later. But it's me staff captain. I had to roll out the refueling and all the rest of the cover. And it's a new banquet. I had huge bales of baskets, all of them, about 6 or 5. And I put them all up. I got inside of 6 or 7. The bottle is charged. Nobody stopped me. Anyway. But,
So what happened? You got to Tobruk, you're saying. It was still in friendly hands.
Yeah.
What happened to your column when it arrived at the Tobruk perimeter?
Well, after that, we wandered about that towards Cairo.
So you arrived at Tobruk, and then you were sent back for eastwards.
Three of our officers and everything in the town was cut off in Dardi. The colonel said we had it. Do what you want. And these three officers and the head clerk went into the night, heading east. And they came, they made 300 miles on Swiss car. They got to know the Bedouins, and they got help all the way. And got men joined us way back in Batman's.
That must have been a great adventure.
Yes.
So you went to Tobruk. Did you stop for any time at Tobruk, or were you pushed off?
Yes, I don't know how long. So I was made staff captain.
Yeah.
And I had to roll out all the supplies.
The administration. Whose idea was that? Was that the brigadier's idea to make you staff captain?
Yes. We lost at that battalion, by the way, and in Dardi, we lost all the head soldiers. We had the third colonel, the adjutant, the quarter officers, all the quarter staffs, the whole followers, and the whole battalion force was lost. So we had no CO as any. So we had to rebuild everything.
Well, also, I think you'd had a lot of casualties amongst company commanders, hadn't
you?
So the battalion had really been very much depleted.
Depleted.
Yeah.
And we went back to Chicago, and another officer came to see the CO. We gave a tough time.
You did? How did you do that?
He's a nice chap, but he hasn't been in action at all. And by this time, we're all old hands. We drink an awful lot of alcohol. And he tried to control us. He had no chance. We missed on throwing him, but there was, we was by this time. And, but he did do a lot of good in that he's an administrative officer. He's all the regulators. We had to reform the battalion and all sorts of things. All these piles of books and everything. And that way, it was a great advantage. But as a commandant officer, he's at his best.
So he wasn't, he was completely inexperienced, you say?
Yes.
Was there anyone left in the battalion who was experienced and competent? You must have been about the only one left.
Yeah. I didn't do very well.
You were saying that the battalion needed to be reconstituted after the breakout and getting back to Egypt. Roughly how long did it take, do you think, to put the battalion back together and make it a battle-worthy unit again?
Well, it was 5 or 6 months, I'd say. We went to Cyprus. At that time, the Germans had landed at Crete, and thought that Cyprus might be a serious girl. And so we went there and pretended to be full of more people than there.
So were you part of a deception plan when you were in Cyprus?
Yes. Yeah. I given a job by the new CEO to... go down to an island, or south part of it, construct battalion fortified areas to pretend we were in residence. And I had to go around to villages, get the villages to design the defensive areas, and they did hold about that deep.
So the trench is about 6 inches deep?
Yes, and I paid the visitors to do that. It's quite an interesting job. I was getting a bit motivated, so I go motivated.
Presumably this was for the benefit of German air reconnaissance,
yes.
What did the villagers think about these projects?
I had no idea. I had no idea.
Were they willing to help?
Oh, yes. They all greased around that. Oh, yes. The patriots, because they knew that they may be left to be invaded by the Germans. But before I ran to hardly miss him ever, but we lived it up. I was in Nicosia in the town, beat it up the bars and that sort of stuff, and this unfortunate trio had tried to control us. And he kept on consigning us off to the barracks all the time, and missed my time because by the barracks in Cyprus.
Where did you get your replacements from to bring the battalion back up to strength?
Well, India, Mina camp, and they came over there.
So they came out from India to Mina and then out to Cyprus?
To Mina and then to there in South Wales. We said that then, that Alaraid, fallen back to Alaraid, we were brought back to the Delta, where I think I contracted malaria, I started bitten. And then we went off to take up a position in the Alaraid mine on the Ruwaitha Bridge.
When you got malaria, did you have to go into hospital to get it?
Well, I come to that moment.
Right.
I didn't know I had malaria. Every evening, I was heavy about 5 o'clock every evening. It's two or 3 weeks. In that time, I went on various patrols into Nirvanjan and got all pounds. Again, I got behind the enemy lines there.
Were these patrols on foot?
On foot. Alabain, no man's end, at that stage, but 1,000 yards at least wide.
When you went on a patrol like that, how many men would you take with you?
I was, about four. Then a general or Suzar or senior visa in there, and two sepoys. After I'd gone about halfway, I don't know why I took them any, but I used to drop them off at a particular place in Alabain. It's the same old place as one big armored car, being knocked out previously. I used to use that. And I'd go off and come back again after that. We picked the boys up, bring them back.
So you went forward on your own from the armoured car?
One month came, I had a very good BCO, a general, we went forward, we got to the minefield. I quit forward on the minefield with him, and then I thought, I could have heard the Italians talking to me. And I went up there, to sit down, straight there. And I went up and went forward. After a while, not even that, I looked down and suddenly saw a staff looking at me, with me. And I got down the sentry. I watched him, he watched me a long time, and then suddenly I saw, you see, all through the night, I saw him pick the gum up and there he was there. That was my decision for me to go. I took a chance on it, ran back hard through the minefield. This sentry got up and ran off. And I went out to get up my two sepoys, got back with battalion down, and that my annoyance. What I found has happened was, when I told the DTSC, he didn't stay there. He wanted to come and see what I was up to. He followed the paradoxy. It was him, not a talent sentry. I was very cross about that. All sorts of things could have happened.
He could have shot you, couldn't he?
I could have shot him, too.
You could have shot him, yes.
The town was very close because there was fire at various sites all the time. We had to be absolutely still at them. They had a small arm fire that came back.
What was the terrain like around the Rysak ridge? What about the ridge itself? What about the ridge itself?
Right at it?
Yes.
Well, from the lower part, about out of all the 60 feet high, hardly recognized them.
Not really a ridge at all?
No.
What kind of positions did you have on the ridge?
Oh, Darwin stands. That's about going away. This business hadn't been organized when he got up there. It was right at the front line and such. And this new colonel was escorted forward to the brigadier on the ridge. We were outside Carlisle at the time. And he said, "You come with me. I got to go to Ober operation group. Brigadier's orders." So I went with the other adjutant. I must have hurt his heart if he needed to go, because he didn't nicely. I didn't blame him. I had to stay pain next to him. And so there were others. And I was no worse than the other, but no better. And I hurt him after Duman asked to go in. We went to the O group, and Brigadier gave orders. This defensive area allocated error to the arbitrarium, and that's it. We went outside, and the colonel looked around, he didn't know what he was doing. He said, "It doesn't mean the other thing, he just flat down. You go and do it." So I did it.
You had to lay out the battalion.
How
did you got it arranged then? What was what was your defence plan?
Well, I allocated company areas and got the company commanders to say, "Yes, all right," and sped up, being three rounds of trenches backwards into Rocky. And that's what it did. And I did this one day. He said to me, "I want to come out on the patrol with you or something." I wasn't very keen because during the daytime you couldn't do it. I said, "I agree with the Germans a long way over, they could see with the darkness." So I didn't want to be too keen on this. We went out through our lines into no man's land, and I tried to portray me doing a very interesting thing, but I wasn't doing anything. He told me about. And then suddenly I said, "I can't go home. I got a terrible headache, so I have to go home." And I go back to him. He said, "It's a bit odd." I suddenly said, "Poorly." We got back to our line, and I passed out. I didn't run about, but we covered for about 2 days in the hospital at Suez. And I was down this malaria.
Do you know what happened, how you were...